Well, good morning. That statement Jason made makes me sound old. He was before my time. Well, some of you are. I know you. I recognize you. Some I don't. But it's an honor and privilege for us to be here and be able to share the word with you. My wife Martha's back here. Martha, wave. She doesn't like to be singled out like that. So I'll probably hear about that in the car later. But that's okay. It is. It's a delight to be here this morning, and we do have memories of Antrim years ago, and wonderful memories. But we have those memories, but we have today. And what does God want to do, and what does God want to say today to us? And so that we would give ear to what the Lord might say to us this morning. And so if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, we're going to read some verses there. And Martha, as I came out to sit down there with Martha, she said, "Where are you going to stay?" And I said, "Up there at that podium." And she said, "Well, that's not very big, because I'm not one just to stand still." And she said, "Please be careful you don't walk off the platform." So if I do fall, you can please come and help me, please. Matthew chapter 16, reading a familiar passage of Scripture here, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege of coming together as your people, your sons and daughters, as your family. And God, as we sit here this morning, our desire is to hear from you. What do you want to say? And we ask the Holy Spirit to direct, Lord, our words today. We ask for your anointing. I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, that you would be exalted and lifted up. May all we do and say honor and glorify you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Oh, some time ago, just in the past, several weeks, we have come through Christmas and we've come through New Year, and Happy New Year, 2024 to all you people. Hope you're having a joyful New Year. Snow lovers here today? Any snow lovers? Raise your don't be if you love snow, wave. Okay, that's those who don't. Martha, your hand should be there. You go. But as I was in the car here, right before Christmas, there was a song come on the radio, and you're probably familiar with it. Mark Lowry sings it, and it's "Mary, Did You Know?" And I've heard that song, and you probably heard it more than one time as well. But as I heard that song again, the words just began to speak to me. And that is what we're going to be doing in the next several weeks. We want to unpack the words of this song and look at it closely, and how these words of this baby that was born 2,000 years ago affected people then, and how it affects people today. How has the birth of Jesus affected you? Is it something that you look back on and you are so thankful for, you are so grateful for, that the Son of God took on the form of man, and we'll be talking about that in one of the messages. But God became human, dwelt among men. He went to the cross. He took our sins, our sicknesses and diseases. They were nailed to the cross. He went to the tomb. He was raised again in victory, that you and I could live each day in the victory that Jesus had won. And so we're going to look at segments of this song and kind of unpack them. And that is kind of going to be our overall theme for this series, Did You Know or Do You Believe? You know, there are things that we know, but do we believe, really honestly believe them? We hear them, we know some facts about things, but do we believe them? Well, as we listen to the words of this song, Mary, did you know, or people today, did you know, do you believe it? Do you believe in the words of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the words that are in red in your Bible, the very words of Jesus himself? We can trust him. We can be thankful that we have someone that we can trust today, that we can have put confidence in and believe that what he says he will do each and every time. So as we look through the words of this song, we see Jesus characterized in many ways: Redeemer, Deliverer, Miracle Worker, Lord of All, Perfect Lamb, the Great I Am, and there's some other ones in there. And so we see these terms, these words that identify who this baby, who this boy would become. Now, if we look back into the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, we have the words of Isaiah written some 600 years before the birth of Jesus, and Isaiah says this: For us, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We've heard those terms, we've read that verse, we've heard that verse probably preached about, but that's what Isaiah was declaring 600 years before the birth of Jesus. We fast forward that into Luke chapter 2, verse 52. We find Jesus being born, and now we are told that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In other words, Jesus grew up. He did not stay a baby. He grew up. Now, the New Testament does not have a lot of details about Jesus' life between 12 and 30. Some say that he may have gone around teaching, or he may have worked in his father's carpenter shop, but we don't have a lot of details about Jesus' life in that time frame. But then we do find Jesus appearing on the scene. Jesus making an appearance, and where he was baptized by John, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He has chosen his 12 disciples, his ministry team. And if you were ahead of an outreach ministry, would you have chosen the 12 people that he did? But Jesus handpicked these 12 individuals. They were now his ministry team. And he begins his earthly ministry of teaching. If you remember what John the Baptist preached about, he said, repent. John the Baptist preached repentance, a change of life, a change of lifestyle, a change of how we live and conduct our lives. If you look at Jesus' ministry, one of the first things that Jesus preached was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance must be important for us, a part of what we are to be able to declare as part of the gospel. We don't hear a lot about that word today, of repentance, of having a godly sorrow for what we've done or did or what we're doing. But Jesus preached that. Jesus taught that. And Jesus went about teaching about the kingdom of God. Jesus said things like, the law says this, but I say this. And Jesus' teaching was so unique and so different, the people marveled because he taught with authority. In other words, he taught like he knew what he was talking about. He taught with authority. Not only did his ministry involve teaching, but his ministry involved touching lives. Just look back over the life of Jesus throughout the Gospels and all the lives that Jesus touched. And one thing about Jesus even touched the untouchable. Jesus reached out and touched the untouchable, the lepers. It made no difference what that person was or what was going on in that person's life. Jesus took time to listen and to touch that person or persons at their point of need. Jesus began to transform lives, and he transformed countless lives as he went about teaching, as he went about touching. And in our text, Jesus asked his disciples this easy question, what do people or who do people say that the Son of Man is? Basically, what Jesus was saying was, what are people saying about me? What is the public opinion? What's public opinion? What are you hearing as you're walking the streets or the roads? Or what are you hearing people say about me? And their reply was simply, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah, or you're just one of the other prophets. People see you differently. People have a different opinion of you. People have a different opinion of who you are. And that is so real and true today. People have a different opinion of who Jesus is. Even within some segments of the church, we're confused as who Jesus is. Why did Jesus come? We're confused about that. But it's a simple gospel, the reason who Jesus is and the reason he came. It's very clear. He came to seek and save the lost, which we all are. Amen? That was his purpose. But Jesus then made it personal. Who do you say that I am? Lay aside all public opinion. Lay aside of all what you hear or how I've heard about me. Who do you say that I am? Who do you see me to be? And that is a question that each and every individual has to answer. You know, Pilate, with Jesus standing beside him, asked the crowd, what do you want me to do with Jesus? And of course, their response was, crucify him. So what do we do with Jesus? What is public opinion? What are people saying about Jesus? It's how you identify. How do you see Jesus? Do we know about him? Do we gather facts? Do we gather information? Or do we go beyond that and do we know him? Back in John's Gospel, chapter 4, we have a story, and you're familiar with the story of Jesus. They're on their way back to Galilee. And Jesus had to go through Samaria to a town called Sychar. And it says, the Bible says that Jesus got tired or was tired. And so he sat down by a well there. The other disciples went into town to get something to eat. And then I always thought, well, Jesus got tired, why didn't the other disciples? Weren't they tired either? But they went on, and Jesus sat down because he was tired. And it was noontime, the hottest time of the day. And here come a Samaritan woman. Was she surprised to find somebody there? Why did she come at noon at the hottest time of the day when everybody else came in the morning and evening when it was a lot cooler? But she came. And maybe she was startled to see Jesus there. I don't know. But Jesus said, "Give me a drink." She probably was startled by the question or the fact that because she said, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan and you're asking me for a drink of water. Why are you even talking to me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan." There was some hostility between them. But Jesus asked them. And Jesus' response to her was beautiful. He said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that you're talking to, you would ask and he would give you living water." If you really understood who you're talking to, if you really understood who I am, if you had a clear revelation of who I am, you would ask me and I would give you living water. That's true today. If we have revelation of who Jesus is and we ask him what we need, not necessarily what we want, but what we need, because the Bible says that he knows what you need before you even ask. But he gives us that wonderful invitation to come into his presence and ask. Ask. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." Ask. Continue to ask. That's a beautiful illustration. If you really knew. And over in John chapter 14, a familiar passage here again. Jesus is in the midst of the Last Supper. 13, 14, 15, 16. It's Jesus and the disciples at the Last Supper. And Jesus is preparing them for his departure, what he's about to do. And we know what John 14, 1 says. You know, "Let not your heart be troubled. You know, if you trust in God, trust in me. Believe in God, believe in me. I'm going away, but I'm coming back. So you are where I am." But then listen to what some of his followers asked him. Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, "If you really knew me," he's talking to Thomas. "Thomas, if you really knew me, if you really understood me, if you really had a clear understanding of who I am." And then Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time?" You know, it's a tragedy to be in the presence of Jesus and not realize it. It's a tragedy that we are in the presence of Jesus and aren't aware of that. Because in his presence, there is such a wonderful peace and joy. In his presence, there is such a wonderful strength and comfort. And many of you, if not all of you, have experienced that at some point in your life. His peace, his presence, his comfort, his joy, his strength, his grace. But in his presence, revelation of who Jesus is. But back to Jesus' question, Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the one that God has sent." Jesus said, "Peter, you're truly blessed because my Father in heaven revealed that to you. You didn't learn that from any human being. That was revelation." Have you ever been reading through the Bible? And you may read the same verse, the same chapter. But then one day you sit down and read that, and you begin to read the very same thing you read 100 times. And then God, the Holy Spirit, just opens that chapter or verse to you. He gives you revelation about it. And you think, wow. And that's what he's saying here. Revelation. This is the cornerstone on which we build our lives and the church. The revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what he wants to do, what Jesus wants to do and can do for each one of us. Revelation of him. Now, it's good to read about Jesus. Absolutely. It's good to be taught about Jesus. Absolutely. But when you have a divine encounter with Jesus, when you receive revelation of who Jesus is, the Holy Spirit convinces hearts that there is a need for Jesus in their life, that revelation, you are changed radically. Revelation brings change. We understand the difference between knowledge and revelation. Knowledge is gathering facts, knowing facts about Jesus. Revelation is knowing Jesus personally and intimately. It's going beyond the scriptures and finding the person that the scripture is talking about. That he is real. He is relevant for today. With all of the things that are going on today, as believers, you and I, we have a strong tower to run to. Solomon says in Proverbs that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It is a refuge. It is a fortress that the righteous can run to and they are safe. The psalmist in 121 says, you know, I will lift up my eyes into the hills. And then asked a question, where does my help come from? My help comes from the one who created the hills and the mountains. That's where my help comes from. And we need that help today, each and every day as we walk through life. Because we know that life today can be difficult at times. Amen? Life can be hard. Life can be difficult. Life can bring challenges. And we need the help of the Lord Jesus Christ to maneuver through today. People today, some even in the church, we know all about Jesus. We know all about him. We know the stories about Jesus. We know about the man. We know the things that he did. Yeah, he did some good stuff. He needs some good things. We know about him. But how many people in the church today really know him intimately, know him personally? God wants to change all that. God wants to open our eyes and ears to that personal relationship that he wants with each one of us. God wants a personal relationship with you. God wants a personal relationship with me. He desires that. He longs for that. Do we have the same desire and do we have the same longing to have that relationship with him? That he is at the center of our days. He is at the center of our home. He is at the center of the church. He desires that today. God wants to open our eyes and ears to that personal relationship that he wants with each one of us. All that we know about him in our hearts needs to move, or excuse me, all that we know about him in our heads needs to move into our hearts. It needs to go from here to here. Head knowledge, personal experience. Head knowledge, the facts, revelation of who he is. The head knowledge of Jesus, of who Jesus is, turns into revelation in your heart when you begin to experience him. How do we experience Jesus today? In worship. We experience him, experience Jesus in worship. What is worship to you? With as many people as here right now, If you were to write a response to that, how would you define and say that what is worship to you? It's coming into church, yeah, or even in your home, even in your car. You can have an encounter with Jesus. We come into church. When you enter into church, what are you expecting? Do we come expecting or do we come, do we come expecting to meet with him, having him meet with us, having him speak, having him move? Do we expect when we come into a church service, into a worship service? Worship is more than just singing songs, hearing a message, praying a prayer, gathering an offering, and leaving. It's an encounter with Jesus Christ. And that as we come in, we leave encouraged. We leave changed because we've met with Jesus. We've had that encounter. And we leave with him. So we experience him in worship, experience him in prayer. You can experience Jesus in your own private prayer time. I hope you all have your own little prayer time, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's 25 minutes, I don't know. But you need time alone in your prayer closet. You need time alone with Jesus Christ. He longs for you to come. He waits for you to come. And when we don't, but we experience him in our prayer time. Martha and I are endeavoring to, you know, pray every morning together. But there's just something about praying, getting alone with Jesus. I love praying with Martha. But I also enjoy spending time in the presence of Jesus by myself. There's something about that. And that's what he wants. God, what do you want to say to me? Give me ears to hear. We see that through the seven churches in Revelation. He that hath an ear to hear, let him listen and hear what the Spirit is saying. What do you want God to say to you? Or do you want him to say anything? Or are you afraid of what he might say? Are you afraid of what he might ask? Are you afraid of where he might direct you what to do? Experience him in worship. Experiencing him in prayer. And just everyday fellowship with Jesus. You can hang out with Jesus. Isn't that cool? You can just hang out with Jesus. Spend more time with Jesus. How do you learn to know somebody? You spend time with them. This April, Martha and I will be married 19 years. There's a lot about her I don't know yet. There's a lot about me she doesn't know yet. I'm anxious to find out. Are you, hon? And she's a little undecided about that. But you fellowship together. You spend time together. You interact with one another. You communicate with one another. You just hang out with Jesus. Songs of praise. Songs of worship. It's rather cool. When you are intimate with Jesus and begin to understand the person of who he is, you begin to live differently. When you have a revelation of who Jesus is, you begin to live differently. Your life changes. Paul said that in Philippians 3. All that Paul did prior to his encounter on the road to Damascus, his life, he had an encounter with Jesus, a revelation of Jesus. His life was dramatically changed. But Paul said, I want to know him. I want to progressively become more acquainted with Jesus than I ever have before. He's never satisfied. Are you satisfied with where you are in your walk or your relationship, your life with Jesus? Are you satisfied with that? This song that we mentioned characterizes this one that was born that he would walk on water. He would calm storms with his with his hand he would give sight to the blind. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. We see in Scripture the responses of those whose lives were transformed by his word or by his touch. They gave him praise. They gave him glory. They bowed at his feet in worship. They couldn't keep quiet about what Jesus had done in them. There's an illustration in John chapter 9 of the blind man. I got time. In the blind man. And Jesus and his disciples passed a blind man. And the disciples said, "Who sinned? Him, did he sin or his parents that he's born blind?" He said, "None. You got it all wrong. He is blind for the glory of God." Jesus took some dust, spit, made mud, put it on his eyes and said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." He went, washed, come back, healed. People were a little confused. This looks like the guy that was blind. But some said, "That's him." Some said, "Nah, that's not him. It only looks like him." And the guy kept saying, "Hey, I'm the guy. I was blind." Well, they began to ask him questions. "Well, what happened?" "Well, this man named Jesus made mud. He told me to put on my eyes. He told me to go wash. I come back. Boom, I can see." Well, they took him to the Pharisees. Pharisees were upset because Jesus did this on the Sabbath. They asked him a bunch of questions. They even called in his parents. "Is this your son? Was he born blind? How can he see now?" Well, they said, "Well, he's our son. You've always claimed your kids, right? He was our kid. He's our son. And he was born blind. But I don't know how he can see now. He's old enough. Ask him." So they brought him back in. Brought the man back in. And it said, "You know, we want you to give glory to God. This guy that healed you can't be of God. He has to be a sinner. What do you got to say?" And the man said, I don't know whether this man's a sinner or not. And I can't answer all your questions. All the questions you may have, I can't answer all your questions about this man, who he is, where he come from. But one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. I don't know about all the outside stuff. I don't know about all the things going on. I hear all the questions, but one thing I know what he did for me. What has he done for you today? So what he's done for you, nobody will ever cause you to doubt that. What God, how God has touched you, what God may have spoken to you, nobody will cause you to doubt that. I know in whom I believe. I know what God has done to me. The announcement was given. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Contrast the people that come, the shepherds, the magi, the wise men, the people on the bottom of the social list, the people on the top of the social list came to see Jesus. He came for all people. That is the good news today. And this is the message. This is the good news today, that there is good news for anyone and everyone that may be discouraged today. There is good news today for anyone who may be fearful today, fearful of the times we're in. What is going to happen? We don't know, but we do know and believe that God is in control. The good news today for anyone that may be losing hope, good news for anyone facing a hardship, and we know many people that are facing problems today, difficulties today, hardships today. There are people, there's good news for people who need direction for their lives, who need wisdom in making decisions today. Hope has a name. The good news is about a person. That person is Jesus Christ. And whatever you have need of today, he is more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine, or even ask of him. Did you know that? Do you believe that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you so much, Lord, today for your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, your grace. And Father, we thank you for each individual that is here today. And God, you know what is going on inside of each and every one of us. The cry of our heart, our need today, Lord. And we just ask, God, that you touch, you speak, meet that need today. We commit it to you in Jesus' wonderful name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you.
There is no other name like that powerful name of Jesus. Thank you, Joe, for sharing that word today. And it is our prayer today that as you leave, that you go forth in obedience, knowing that love of Jesus, that you would be changed, forever changed, that you know him personally inside. Go forth in obedience, loving the Lord our God. And may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Go in peace.